Hey, there you are. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the YouTube live stream, the newspaper review. Tuesday morning it is, the 22nd of October 2019. And I am, well, the big ignorant Irish Baldy Gammon. Bollocks. That's right. You're well. I tell you what, it's lovely. Lovely and dry in Salford and Greater Manchester. You can get things done when it's dry, you know. So, pretty good this morning, been out and about listening to the radio in the small hours as I normally do, and you won't be surprised, I suppose, you know yourself, you've got your own radios and you've got your own televisions. So Brexit dominates the airwaves in the UK this morning, and I'm not going to talk too much about it on this stream. I will get into it with David Vance on the radio show a bit later on, but even again on the radio show today it's going to be a lot of other issues as well. Got a couple of great guests today, David Vance being one. And then I'm going to get into a rather disturbing article in the Metro yesterday about how local authorities have got, you know, websites offering sexual guidance to kids as young as 13. And some of that guidance is even for a non-religious, pretty open-minded, middle-aged guy like me, some of the advice they're offering children is, it's absolutely mad. It really is. So Cassie Crowhurst, who's an interesting lady, she was on the programme with me about 5 or 6 months ago. She's been following it really closely and is going to report on it with me on the radio show this evening. Report on it for us even on the show this evening. So there you go. By the way, I often mention Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth, and I know a lot of people who join in on the live chat here on this live stream will know all about Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth. But if you don't know who they are, there they are. Look at them. Pair of ne'er-do-wells. Pair of ne'er-do-wells. A pair of scallies, if ever there were a pair. But Hayden and Graham put on daily, they're not vlogs, daily programmes, resourced programmes on triggerwarning.tv or the YouTube channel Trigger Warning, where they talk a lot about current events, as I do, but they often give a different opinion, or they take a different approach to the same events that you'll hear about on the Richie Allen radio show. But they are equally as independent, and they're very good, and they're funny a lot of the time as well. So that's Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth. Hi to Liz McFall. Liz, thanks so much for the lovely Super Chat donation. I really appreciate that, Liz. It means a lot to me, as I say often, but I do mean. So thanks a million for that. So we'll have a look at the newspapers then, and I'll run through some of the live chat comments as we go along. Yeah, it's cold as well. It's lovely, but it is pretty chilly this morning. Yeah, that could be me getting old. It could also be me being very thin. I'm a bit thin at the moment. I don't know if you... Well, you can't tell on... You know, I might not look very thin, but I am very thin. You can see my ribs. I'm down to 14 stone 4 pounds. There was a time when I was about 17 stone. I am 6'6" tall. I'm very athletic. So I am down to 14 stone 4, which is probably 6 or 7 pounds less than maybe I should be. And maybe that's why I'm cold, because I've never been cold. I've been a very warm-blooded bloke my entire life, but I feel the cold these days. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, just a thought. Okey-dokey! Here's something which... Do you know Neil Saunders, the hypnotherapist and the author, who's a really terrific bloke, Neil? I have a lot of time for him. He's ruined virtue signalling for me, because I've taken great joy in recent months and years in pointing out virtue signalling. I love it when I come across it. But Neil said to me, it's actually virtue signalling in and of itself by pointing out virtue signalling. You're a virtue signaller, putting yourself above the virtue signalers. And he's ruined it for me, Neil. You bastard, Neil. That's what hypnotherapists do, to get into your head. He's right in there now. Can't get him out. What a sobering thought. But a glorious bit of virtue signalling last night. And it just gives me the opportunity to say, Rebecca Long Bailey! That'll wake you up now if you're asleep, eh? Rebecca Long Bailey, the MP for Salford. And Eccles. Over there. Rebecca's got a very big mouth, and she's incapable of speaking. Incapable of speaking without screaming. And when she's being interviewed, She is very reluctant to allow the interviewer to interject with a question, so she just talks non-stop very loudly.
Well, I think I'm dead, eh?
That's who she is. This is wonderful virtue signalling here by Rebecca. Yesterday, I love this, on the 53rd anniversary of the Aberfan pit disaster, thinking today of the 116 children and 28 adults who died and the emergency services and community who were there. One was one of my school teachers, and I've remembered his harrowing account of the tragedy all these years. You lying bastard, Rebecca. You were on the BBC webpage on your tablet, and you came across this story here, and you thought, wonderful opportunity for a bit of virtue signalling. Because the truth is, Rebecca, you couldn't give a fuck about people who died before you were born, not connected to you in any way, in another country. This is the essence of virtue signalling. These people are vile, aren't they? They are vile. There's nothing they wouldn't exploit as a means of shining a light on their virtue, on their virtues. I nearly said virtuosity there. On their virtues, on their virtuefulness. They are dreadful. Why don't just people be honest? I've had people say stuff to me like this before. Honest to God, and I've gotten into trouble. I got into trouble some time ago saying this about the Holocaust. It's terrible, isn't it, Richie? I get told the Holocaust, and I say I'm sick to death of fucking hearing about it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I know about it. It's in there now. I know. This makes me laugh, because people say this to me sometimes. Oh, terrible, I wanted that Aberfan. I couldn't give a fuck. What? I couldn't give a fuck. People died in a pit, did they? 53 years ago, did they, in Wales? I couldn't give a shit. Doesn't mean anything to me. Eh? I wasn't born then. I was born in 1974, be Jesus. This is wretched virtue signalling, isn't it? Saw the story on BBC, thought, oh yes, what an opportunity. Yeah, Rebecca Long Bailey. Fucking Rebecca Long Bailey, motherfucker. Yeah. Okay. The Guardian. Look at that big grinning goonish face on Graham Booth there, look. Do check out triggerwarning.tv. I do like those lads quite a lot. They sold out the Meat Space event, by the way, which is a remarkable achievement in these trying times. I look forward to being at that in a couple of weeks' time. The Guardian goes with Johnson in final push to ram through Brexit deal. This is all going to kick off again today, Jesus Christ Almighty. I know, right? Jacob Rees-Mogg, the leader of the House, has presented the next few days a timetable for business in the House. They're going to try and get it through. But they won't, because the opposition parties are going to slow it down with all sorts of amendments. And the amendments can be, well, we insist on you add this to the bill, or we insist you take this away from the bill. And every time there is an amendment proposed, and every time the Speaker accepts it, it has to be debated on and then voted on by the House, further again pushing away further the vote on the deal. Which I don't care about, because the deal is wretched. The deal is wretched. So this is all going on today and tomorrow and the day after. Johnson, 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 Johnson. The deal, the deal. Guy Verhofstadt, European Steering Group. We're fed up of it now. We're exasperated. We want Brexit done. You lying bastard, Guy. Of course you don't want Brexit done. You're part of the overarching conspiracy to make sure we never leave. Give me me glasses. Give me me glasses. Ram it through. Hi to Richard Murray. Thank you, Richard, for your support. I greatly appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much indeed. That was The Guardian. Thanks for watching this nonsense as well. The iPaper, fury at PM's plan to force through high-speed Brexit. All this fury shit. Everybody is furious and mad, and I'm mad as hell, God damn it. They don't have to be mad about anything. He can't force anything through, because they get to debate on it and filibuster if they want and go on forever and ever and ever and propose a million amendments to it. It's not going to happen. So all of these lefty-ish, lefty-leaning papers like the iPaper, fuck off. It's not going to happen. The Telegraph. PM may axe deal as Berko blocks vote. Now, this is interesting. I don't think it's true, by the way, but there it is. This is Danny Boyle, not the Danny Boyle. At least I don't think it is. Oh, Danny Boyle, the pipes. Not the Danny Boyle, the director. He surmises, or supposes, in his article in The Telegraph today, that Johnson might just get sick of this because his Brexit withdrawal agreement might have all of these caveats added on by MPs, like you must have a customs union, which of course means freedom of movement will continue, and all of this. Johnson might just say, ah, fuck that. Be done with it. Right? He says. So I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Of course, he wouldn't say it like that. It would be like, oh, fuck that, fuck that. Throw it out. Fuck me, fucking bastards. Brexit. So, maybe, but it's unlikely. John Berko. Nobody, apart from me, that is. Nobody is in love with the sound of his own voice more than me. I'm not that in love with the sound of my own voice. John Berko. A man who takes an hour and a half to answer a 2-second question. Loves the sound of his own voice. He is being seen by Brexiteers as, well, the chief architect of the betrayal of Brexit. There he is. All the papers going with William fearing for the very fragile Harry. Harry has just found out who his daddy is. That's what it's all about, really, all this depression. That was The Telegraph. The Express, out of order. Order. Speaker, why won't you listen to the 17.4 million who voted for Brexit? Because he's a Remainer. The answer is pretty simple. The Metro. Wills. I fear for Harry. There you are. The Brothers Grimm. The Brothers Grimm. Sure, they have lots to be grim about even, don't they? Must be hard. Must be hard being them. Must be hard being Harry. It must be hard being both of them. Both of them know that their own family was complicit in the murder of their mother. Their grandfather, the intelligence agencies. They know this. Come on. Whether they saw Keith Allen's film or not, they know this. So maybe I should go easier on Harry. His depression is understandable. He's living out Hamlet. Except there was no poison in the ear, dear boy, no. They fucking blocked the tunnel off. They distracted the driver. They blinded him. And then they smothered your mother to death while she was gasping for air. And he knows this. And he has to live with it. That's maybe the reason for the melancholy. For the antic disposition. Hey? Check out the big brain on Richie, huh? Huh? Oh, it's freezing here today. The antic disposition, oh Christ. Takes me back to my leaving certificate. When I studied Hamlet. Frailty, thy name is woman. Go on, Polonius. We know what women are like. Women are great. The Daily Mail, William's fears for troubled Harry. They love this story. The Brothers Grimm. What did I do there, eh? Did I delete Hayden and Graham, did I? Can't be doing that. Hang on. Look how shit this is, look. The cheapest live stream in the world. Can't be deleting the two lads. Where do we finish there with the Mail? Let's do the Sun newspaper. Are they going to go with Brexit? Or Harry? Yes, it's Wills and Harry. My fears for fragile Harry. Worries after TV interview. They're saying it was the Diana Panorama moment. The Mirror. Football's dementia time bomb. They're coming after football now. They're going to introduce laws banning the heading of footballs by younger children. Now, they're not saying that, but they will. Jeff Assell's family. Jeff Assell was a marvellous footballer. West Brom and other clubs. And Jeff died. I think Jeff had dementia, and they linked Jeff's neurological problems to heading the ball. Now, when Jeff Assell headed the ball, men were men. The ball was a big fucking rock of brown leather where it soaked up water during the game, and heading it was like heading a brick wall. The football is different today. The ball itself is different. But they're saying that heading a ball. And of course, my American viewers and listeners to the radio show will know there's been a big issue about cranial injuries and neurological problems for footballers. I mean, there is no more physical game than American football. It's brutal. I don't care about the pads and the helmets. It is a lunatic sport. And they've had that in America. Now they're talking about it here. And there is a call, have been calls, to stop youngsters heading the ball. Sucking the marrow out of life, these people. Excuse me. I wouldn't be in favour of that, to be honest. I wouldn't be. The Times. Population to hit 70 million in a decade. Big story in the Times today. Here's the story inside it. And the hysterical... the hysterical aspect of the alternative right. Because a lot of alternative right commentators are not hysterical. They're pretty open-minded. I'll be speaking to David Vance today. I don't think David would mind me saying that he presents alternative right viewpoints on his websites. But he's not hysterical, David, I don't think. I think he's pretty broad-minded, open-minded. But a lot of the alt-right is hysterical, or some of it is, and they love these stories. Population is 70 million in a decade. And one of the main reasons for this is, they say, migrants coming to the UK and having children. This will be grist to the mill. Grist to the mill of the alt-right, who have been saying for years, we told you about this. And this is of course, going to put a lot more weight onto an already creaking NHS and other public services, schools and stuff like that. So that's in the Times, and it is of interest to a lot of our listeners, I would imagine. I do have a significant amount of people who would describe themselves as conservative listening to my radio show, I have no doubt. Did we do the Mirror, did we? We did. Did we do the Financial Times? We didn't. Moscow, as they say in America, spy unit hacked Iran's hackers to launch cyber attacks. So they hacked the hackers, did they? Number 10, confident in securing Brexit bill win as MPs bridle at lack of scrutiny. So the newspapers can't make up their minds what's going to happen with Brexit. And I do want to say, if I can find it there, a big thanks to Maniac76 for the Super Chat contribution. Thank you so much, Maniac. Really appreciate that. Have I missed others as well? I have. JW Suicides. Thank you, JW. It's not a small amount, mate. It means the world to me. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. I really do. Nothing is small. Everything is generous. And everything is equally received. And I mean that. And Jason Gage. Thanks, Jason. Morning, you baldy gammon from Bristol. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate that. One more paper to do, and then we'll go to a few comments, and then we'll look at some of the stories inside. There's the Star. Stiff Richard. Cliff Richard, eh? Joker who stole a cardboard cutout of Sir Cliff shuts down entire airport. Bizarre story. In a duty-free at an airport, somebody tried to make off with a Cliff Richard cardboard cutout, and security shut down the entire airport. Over a cardboard cutout, yes. Not over a till that somebody stole, loaded with money. Not over a case of vodka or Bacardi. No. No, over a cardboard cutout there. All right. Madness. Right. Good morning to Kath, to Maggie May, to Matt in Western Massachusetts, to Yupkick, to Jane Phillips, Chile in Spain, says Jane. How you doing, Jane? We've no sympathy for you, by the way. Hi to Martin Ellen, to Jesus Jones, to Jessica Rabbit. How you doing, Jessica? And Dilip as well, Mr. 58. Yeah. Dick Scratcher, Richard Yarlins, eh? Jim Kingsbury. How you doing, Jim? To PB Awake, to Earth Dog. How you doing, Earth Dog? To Sean Inchcliffe. How you doing, Sean? Wide Awake Radio, good morning. Good morning, Jason Hurley. I've had to unhide your comment, Jason. You see, Google, and not me, or Raj, we don't hide comments, ever. Not one time, ever. Google does it, you see. And because we don't spend much time on YouTube, we don't notice that. And then you kick off and come back and say, oh, you're hiding my comments. As if we give a shit. No. Hi to Pierre, to Acker, to Highly Unlikely. Good morning. Good morning, Maureen McAleer, Electra Blaze, Gail, Chris Brown. Loads of hellos there. Mega Tree Rat. Mr. High Professional. Stuart Batty. Good morning to Jean Ann Crowley. The cold as one gets older. Well, in my case, I'm blaming the fact that I've gotten progressively slimmer in the last 3 or 4 years. But I hear you. It could be age as well. It might be age as well. Lovely. Where are we? Where are we? Shall I just jump back into the papers then, shall I? Hi to Sean Ping, to Chris Morrell. Mad about the guy, might have done that already. Bex Hill, lovely Charlie girl. And Richard, who donated. Thanks, Richard. Wayne Davis, Sean Ping, Charlotte. Look, I'm going to stop. Okay, I'm going to stop. Marvellous, marvellous. Who else have we got there? There's so many, I'm just going to keep going on. I'm just going to keep going down and go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Marvellous. Right, let's look at the front pages of newspaper. No, we've already done that. Let's look at some of the stories inside, because there are some very interesting stories inside. This is very interesting. It's in The Guardian today, and I'm chasing this up. This isn't hippie stuff. Totnes parents defiant over vaccines. Now, we've taken a real interest in Totnes, haven't we, in recent times? In fact, I was on the phone this morning to John Kitson. John and his friends were successful, at least temporarily, in getting Totnes Council in Devon to put a moratorium on the rollout of 5G. Okay? Because there have been no human health impact surveys or studies done on it. And it is dangerous technology. How do we know this? Well, we know because people like Chris Busby, who's a verifiable genius, a certified expert. We know this because of people like Barry Troer, former Navy microwave weapons expert, tell us that it's a dangerous thing and it's going to have profound implications for our health. So that's why we've been talking about Totnes recently. And Totnes is back in the news this morning because Stephen Morris, writing in The Guardian, is talking about how some parents in Totnes are not vaccinating their children. Important now, because you know the health secretary Matt Hancock is currently taking legal advice. That doesn't happen very quickly. It could take several months, that on whether the government can introduce legislation to mandate vaccines for primary school students or children going to kindergartens. Right, so they've named a few people in here, and I'm chasing them up. They've named a woman called Lotus Tarn. I found Lotus on... I'm not on Facebook, but I do have access still to the Richie Allen Show Facebook page. I have access. It's looked after by Rog, but I've got access, but I'm not on Facebook. My personal page, I deleted it 2 years ago, and I did right. Very important. But this lady is on Facebook, and we're trying to get in touch with her. They talk to some of these parents about the immune system being compromised by the ingredients in vaccines and all the rest of it. Now, the article written by Stephen Morris is pretty old school. He's not taking a point of view. He points out what the parents are saying, and then he points out what the NHS and the health secretary is saying. I'm interested in it for a number of reasons. One of them being, ever since speaking to parents who, and I've spoken to many of them, who were threatened by local authorities and who were visited by social workers after indicating that they would not vaccinate, I'm fascinated about the blowback from local authorities. Really fascinated by it. You know, you say you don't want to vaccinate, what happens? Are you left alone because you're the parents and you make the decision, or are you contacted by the aforementioned so-called authorities? And that's very interesting. And I want to speak to these parents, so we'll get into that when we can. Interesting about film in the Times today. I've lamented this myself many times as somebody who loves the cinema. I'm a big cinema fan. I've also been, for most of my life, adult life, a big theatre fan as well. Since coming back to the UK, we've not gone to as many plays as we would like to because of work and one thing and another. But we do love the cinema, and some of the most famous directors, most successful men and women in film history have had a proper go at the propensity for these superhero films taking over cinema in multiplexes and all the rest of it, and what it's doing to creative writing, and what it's doing to young creative writers writing dramas, maybe, you know, not getting these films to the screen. We do have a cinema complex in Manchester called Home, and that used to be the Corner House Cinema in Manchester. And Home does show a lot of foreign films, but also a lot of independent films, which are not superhero bullshit bollocks films. I know some of my listeners are big into these films, but they are shit. They are absolute wretched shit. And they are full of predictive programming things. In my opinion, now it's just my opinion, they are wretched rubbish. Costing a couple of £100 million to make, in some cases. And it's all you get. Look up your local Cineplex at the moment, and it's all of these films are dreadful. So I have a lot of sympathy with the likes of Scorsese. And even Coppola, despite all of his foibles and all the rest of it. This makes me laugh. Did Trump give the bird last week to the astronauts when they were correcting him? When he said, congratulations for being the first female spacewalkers, and the two women in the space station, or in the shuttle, I don't know what they're in, they might be in the space station. They said, well, in fact, we're not the first, blah, 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 and Donald gave it a bit of this. Makes me laugh, this, you know. This is the theatre I talk about all the time. You know, this is not coincidental. This is not just an and finally story. This is deliberate, this. And it gets people frantically talking about this on Twitter. It's amazing how much people invest themselves in this sort of nonsense. And they've even got a body language expert to say that Donald was definitely giving the middle finger to the women in the space station. There you are. Shannon Watts. She's not the body language expert. She's somebody who was offended by it. We're all offended by everything, aren't we? We're offended. Nobody can laugh at anything anymore. You just laugh. If I was one of the women in the space station, I'd just laugh. I'd be like, yes, Donald Trump has given me the bird. When I'm correcting him. Brilliant. I'll be telling this to my granddaughters. Yeah. A lot of talk this morning about green cars. You see this morning? You listen to the news? Electric cars. There are calls to give electric cars a green number plate so that the drivers of them can be smug bastards and point at you in your diesel guzzling. What am I driving again? Renault Megane Estate. Yeah, yeah. I'll be driving down the road. Some dickhead will be driving a green car, an electric car with a green number plate, and he'll be going to me, you big bally gammon. You'll be a big bally gammon in your diesel. I'm a much better human being than you. Of course, they're going to tell me in 5 or 6 years' time that I've got to take my diesel Renault Megane Estate off the road, aren't they? They are. This is the tyranny. This is the totalitarianism that we're rushing headlong towards. They will. They'll say in a few, you can't have that anymore. There was a time when they were giving you money. The government was saying, here, take some money and we'll take your diesel car from you. In a few years' time, they're just going to say, no, you can't drive it. Tough shit, Paddy. Tough shit, Paddy. You can't drive it anymore. This is really interesting. And they want these green cars to be given free parking and allow them to drive in bus lanes. Green cars. What does Shaken Stevens make of it? What does Shaken Stevens make of it? Has anybody asked Shaken Stevens about green cars? Frantically trying to think of what Shaken Stevens' real name is. Jesus Christ. This is early onset of Alzheimer's, because I used to know that. Anyway. Oh, God. Facebook then. 10 o'clock it is. Very important. Facebook reveals preparations for UK elections. Facebook. There's 1.5 billion people on Facebook now. I'm not. Like I said, the show... For no good reason, the show still has a Facebook page. For no good reason. I'll tell you why. Because it's had 20,000 followers for about 4 years now. Yes, That's the definition of shadow banning. 20,000 followers for 4 years and it hasn't moved. And when you post stuff on there, nobody sees it. So I gave up on it 2 years ago. And Raj said, this is Raj, like, who is real. I'll do an interview with Raj sometime. I'll bring him on the show. Raj's like, I'll run it for you, Richie, just to keep putting stuff up there. I'm like, do what you want. I couldn't give a shite, to be honest. But they got us all on Facebook and on Twitter so that they could moderate and censor what we do and what we don't see, right? Genius. Absolute genius. And this is going to be, you're going to hear a lot more about this now in the coming weeks ahead of elections, not only here, but what's going on there, eh? I can't move this bloody thing. Yeah, there you are. Ahead of elections here in the UK and ahead of elections in the US, Facebook has taken upon itself the responsibility to decide what is true and what is not true. Therefore, preventing you from determining that for yourself. So Facebook will say, this is untrue. Nobody gets to see that. This is very true. We will amplify that. Right? Nothing wrong with that, is there? The arbiter of that which is and isn't true. The arbiter of that which is and isn't true. We're into Orwellian stuff here. And you're going to hear more and more about this as the weeks and months go on. It was always the thing. Become the only game in town. Get everybody onto your platforms. And then it becomes oh so easy to influence those people. And they'll never leave. They'll always stick with it because everybody's on there. People have become kind of conditioned now to having conversations on Twitter and on Facebook. It's in their subconscious now. It's in their DNA now. That's what you do. You want to say something about somebody? You want to have a proper fucking rant? Hey, hey, go on to Twitter. Wonderful. They got all the celebrities and all the politicians in the world on there. Gave them a lovely blue tick. And the public followed like sheep. And now they're all on there. And now you can determine what they see, what they hear, and ultimately what they think. This is true. So this is a big story, right? And we'll be on it in the weeks and months ahead. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. What else is there? Before we come back to the BBC and a story on health, more of these stories. You see lots of these stories about equality in schools. What makes people think a black woman can't be a head teacher? That's kind of a gaslighting headline there. Nobody thinks that black women can't be head teachers. Right? But the idea is that there's some sort of discrimination that's inherent, not only in people individually, but inherent in society. That it's pervasive, that it's everywhere. But it's not true. People don't give a shit. The proportion of ethnic minority staff in senior roles is low, even in areas such as London. Why? But what they don't ask is it proportional to the representation of black people in society? Like, what percentage of society is made up of black people? That's a very easy thing to find out. I haven't done it this morning. I have done it before, but I can't remember the figure off the top of my head. 15%, is it 16%? Don't quote me. Don't quote me. I don't know, but it's easy to find out. And then cross-reference the proportion of black people in society with the amount of black teachers. And I'm guessing there won't be much of a difference between the two figures, meaning that things are pretty okay for ethnic minority people. Right? If you got 16%, let's say you're represented in the population as a figure of 20%. And if you find that in any sector of society that your representation at management level is around 20%, even if it's a little bit less, 17-18%, you're doing all right. But no, positive discrimination. We're not nearly as diverse enough. So you've got one black teacher here, who is a head teacher, saying that when she went to an event, she believed that the other people at the event, the other attendees, believed that she was a member of the waiting staff. And she was also horrified to see that many of the waiting staff or catering staff were black people. That's always the way it's been. When I say it's always the way it's been, I don't mean it's always that black people have worked in catering. But wherever you go, particularly at one-off events where staff are brought in for the day, you often get a lot of ethnic minority folks working for agencies. Low-paying jobs. Semi-skilled jobs. You get a lot of migrants doing jobs like that. So it's no big deal that the waiting staff seem to have a lot of black folks there. And if you think that every time you turn up to an event, people are looking at you like you shouldn't be there, well, maybe you've got a chip on your shoulder or an inferiority complex. These stories are everywhere. And they're not isolated. This is not an isolated thing. There's a big push for social justice and diversity. But it's going to be at the expense of choosing people for positions or not choosing people for positions who are eminently qualified to do them and maybe better qualified to do them. But no, not today, because we've got to get black folks in, we've got to get Asian folks in, we've got to get blind lesbian dwarfs in because we don't have enough blind lesbian dwarfs. So you're going to have to wait for the next round of recruitment. It's crazy stuff, this. Utterly crazy. I'll go back to the comments in a few minutes' time, by the way. Lovely stuff. And maybe we'll finish on this one today. This is an NHS story where the Women Inequalities Committee wants hospitals and surgeries and care homes to be punished if they don't collect data on people's sexual orientation, because they believe that LGBT folks are dealing with severe and deep inequalities in care. That if you're gay or lesbian or trans, you're not enjoying the same level of care as everybody else. What's interesting about this is it goes on to say LGBT folks are often less healthy. Why? Why are LGBT folks less healthy than the general population? I'd like to know that. I think if you're going to present me with a news item like this and a story, you've got to give me the whole story. Why are LGBT folks often less healthy than the wider population? That's the headline on its own, right? Forget about they must ask. The headline should be LGBT people are less healthy. Why? Why? This is not a loaded question now. I don't have any moral objection to gay and lesbian people, as you well know. I support same-sex marriage, as you well know. I don't give a fuck what people are. But I'm interested in this. But they don't really get into it. They just make a few points, which we'll come to in a minute. MPs wanted to become mandatory in the same way that people are asked about their ethnicity. We recently moved, obviously, didn't we? We talked about it quite a bit. And obviously we're now 5 or 6 miles away from the NHS surgery we were registered with. So now we register with the one nearest us. I don't know why we do it, because neither of us really have much use for doctors these days. But anyway, but we did, and we got the questionnaire. The questionnaire was quite funny, actually. I was asked to, you know, determine my sex, my gender. Does your gender align with your sex? I was asked, was I non-binary and all this sort of crap. Anyway, so they want people to ask about their sexuality. They want them to be asked about their sexuality. And then it goes on to say, without giving any real answer to why LGBT people are less healthy than the wider population, it goes on to give a couple of what they think are facts. They think LGBT people are more likely to smoke cigarettes or cigars or whatever the fuck, right? More likely to drink heavily. What are they basing that on? Gay and bisexual men more likely to have anal cancer. Well, it's the obvious answer to that. Bisexual women more likely to have cervical cancer. Why? Promiscuity. This is the thing that whenever I say it, my gay friends, and I have some gay friends, some real ones, some genuine ones, not many, but it drives them fucking mad when I say this. It drives them mad. And I talk to them and I say, look, I don't care if it drives you mad. It's my opinion. And the reason I say it is because you fucking told me. Andy Hunter, great guy. Studying law in the US. Lovely fella, Andy. Friend of the shows. Gay man. Andy says, Richie, you're wrong. And of course, individual cases will present. And I will be wrong. Because there's a reason we say we shouldn't generalise. Because obviously there are many exceptions to the rule or to the claim. Andy is one of them. But I worked with gay men. And when I was working for City and Guilds, teaching radio and television, I met a gay man who I became very good friends with. A brilliant broadcaster. Promiscuity. Promiscuousness. My gay boss in radio in Ireland, promiscuity. Mocking the straight attitude. Now, I'm well aware a lot of straight people are absolute hypocrites when they talk about monogamy. Blokes are and can be bastards. You know, they can preach on monogamy and give them a few drinks and they'll go around the back of the club with some slapper and hope the wife never finds out. I'm well aware of this. Not stupid. But my experience, you know, as a very curious... Do tell, Richie. Curious in terms of asking questions. Gay men are promiscuous, are more likely to tend towards promiscuity than straight men. And an old lesbian pal of mine, whose name is Claire, she's real too, she said it's the same for lesbian women, promiscuity. More likely to have multiple sex partners than a straight person. Hence, I would argue, hence the poorer overall health than the wider population. But nobody wants to talk about that. People scream, abuse when anybody wants to talk about this. They scream prejudice. Oh, you're prejudiced. Oh, you're a hater. Don't hate anybody. But I know from personal experience, do tell Richie, again, friends of mine, multiple sexual partners, not behind the back of their full-time partner, very open about it, shagging all around them. Yes, promiscuity. And that's the way it is, and people don't like that, but tough shit, Paddy, that's the way it is. Gay men, and it seems gay women, tend to promiscuity, tend to take huge fucking risks, and I make no moral judgment on that. Do what you like. So long as you've got two consenting adults, it's nobody else's business. But the BBC hasn't got the balls to jump down into that for fear it'll be accused of hatred or hate speech towards gay folks. That's an interesting story, that, on the BBC today. Right? I know there are gay men and women who listen to my radio shows and who watch this. And they will either grin at this and say, oh, fuck you, Richie, you're talking bollocks, or not be offended by it, or they might say, yeah, you've got a point. I'm wide open to doing a radio show about it and inviting some of our gay friends on to talk about it. Okay. Right. That's about it for me today. Well, for this show anyway. Don't forget, coming up in the programme later on, David Vance, not only on Brexit, but on the tendency of PayPal lately to do a terrible thing, and I have no time for it. And while I don't believe that the alternative right is being exclusively attacked or shut down, they're not. Every independent radio creation is being targeted, and it's been done in a way to make everybody feel that they are being exclusively picked on. So it's not exclusively happening to the alt-right. But at the moment, the alt-right is seeing the PayPal thing, which is very damaging to them. It's where PayPal is basically saying, you're not allowed to do any transactions with us anymore. So piss off. And David Vance's alternative news platform has been basically kicked to the turf or kicked to the curb by PayPal, and it is a disgrace. And I said the same thing when they did it to Tommy the Tit Robinson. What a tit, right? What a tit. But I wouldn't do that to him. If people want to contribute money to him, to listen to his messages, or watch his videos, they should do that. PayPal should not be the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong, particularly because of its hegemony. This is the fucking problem. PayPal, Google, Facebook are like states now. They are like continents in their scope and in their breadth. They are fucking huge. And it cannot be allowed that they do that. So I have no time for it. And we'll pick it up later on with them. I know I keep saying I'm going back to the comments. We'll pick it up a bit later on with David Vance. Hi to Terms and Conditions Apply. Hi to Mr. Kingsbury. Hi to Mr. Roper. Hi to Jesus again. And look, I'm just going to go now because I've got loads to do. I've got dog to feed. I've got dog to feed. And then I've got to go on run. Until later, it's goodbye from me. Have a good rest of your Tuesday. Good show coming up later on. Really good show tomorrow. And an even better show on Thursday, he says. I don't know. See you later.